Hello and welcome to Databook. I am Jack Murtha.
And I'm Tom Castles. Thanks for joining us on this episode, everybody. If you enjoy Databook, be sure to rate, subscribe, and review.
Today we have a special guest. His name is Sunny Tara, and he is a veteran of the casino industry, analytics industry, and healthcare.
Now, he's going to tell us some really cool stories about how healthcare and gambling intersect. And these are the type of stories that you can find on our website, hcanews.com. We'll be putting all these stories out on social media as well. You can find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook.
So before we get to today's interview, we have a story for you. And it's something I kind of understand.
Not intimately, but there is little doubt that this thing, these data gathering tools and analytics, definitely influenced Jack's decision-making in some way. And to be honest, they probably manipulated me quite a bit too.
It's a little thing called a casino loyalty program. Way back when I turned 21, I headed down to Harrah's in Atlantic City to celebrate.
Yeah, I mean, we are in New Jersey after all.
And what was the first thing that I did upon arriving? Paperwork.
Yeah, who doesn't love a little stack of paperwork on their 21st birthday, huh?
Well, look, there really wasn't that much. I fill out my name, my address, my email address, phone number. I flash my new driver's license. It's just a quick pit stop before I hit the casino floor. And you know what? Boom. I am a Total Rewards member.
So that's the loyalty program run by Caesars Entertainment. It's one of the biggest gaming companies around. It owns dozens of casinos all over the world, brings in billions of dollars per year. Caesars clearly knows what it's doing.
And Caesars clearly knows a lot about me.
And that's all thanks to that nifty little Total Rewards card you signed up for however many years ago.
Here's the thing, though. When I became a Total Rewards member, I was only thinking about how I would get free rooms, maybe some discounted meals. I was not thinking about how the program would track my actions in the casino, gather my data, and use analytics to just get me.
You just didn't really get that Total Rewards was a high-tech, data-driven platform to keep you coming back to Caesars properties. And only Caesars properties.
But it sure worked. Las Vegas, Atlantic City, almost every casino that I've ever been to is owned by Caesars. And the same goes for my friends who also enrolled in Total Rewards. Caesars has sent us the right marketing at the right time. The right incentives, the right ideas, the right everything.
So how does this all tie into healthcare? Well, the truth is that Las Vegas and casinos worldwide have done a pretty good job in building customer loyalty. They've succeeded in leveraging big data and analytics to improve their business.
By and large, healthcare hasn't done the same. Not yet.
But could you imagine if, out of all the industries in the world, casinos end up guiding hospitals through the digital transformation? It might not be as crazy as it sounds.
So just to clearly map this out, today on Databook, we are going to dive a little bit deeper into Total Rewards.
Then, after that, in our interview with Sunny Tara, we're going to look at what healthcare can learn from casinos and their use of analytics.
So make sure you stick around. But first, we go to 1997. Harrah's Entertainment is looking for a way to keep guests coming back, even after they break the bank.
They end up launching this loyalty program called Total Gold. A year later, its name changes to Total Rewards.
Here's the deal. Players can sign up for Total Rewards to earn reward and tier credits. Tier credits determine their rankings, like are they diamond or gold members, and reward credits determine which comps they get.
That's things like free rooms, meals, shopping, and gaming credits. Exactly the kind of stuff that might comfort the weathered gambler.
But Total Rewards isn't just about consoling the downtrodden. The program also helps members score rooms and booked hotels. You know, the perks follow them from casino to casino, whether that's in Las Vegas, Atlantic City, New Orleans, wherever else.
So when players use their Total Rewards card, they generate data. First, there's their basic information. Then there's insights into which games they like to play, how they gamble, when they hit the tables, like what time, even what they eat, drink, and buy.
About 10 years ago, the chief marketing officer tells a journalist for the magazine Ad Age that his company knows if a customer likes golf, Chardonnay, down pillows, rooms close to the elevator, whatever.
And this is an important issue from the top down. Executives place a ton of importance on this sort of data-driven customer experience, even way back in 1998.
And this all helps with marketing. Harrah's is getting a whole lot of data, and with that, they can do a whole lot of targeted marketing. Emails, direct mail, you know how it goes.
It all adds up to this. Harrah's can get customers in the door and keep them happy once they're there.
The bottom line?
By 2002, Harrah's rakes in more than $4 billion in revenue and $235 million in net income.
So time marches on and the casino business consolidates.
Sounds a little familiar, like maybe like what healthcare is doing right now, huh?
It does. But in 2005, Harrah's ends up buying Caesars Entertainment. And that means Total Rewards gobbles up all the data from Caesars' loyalty program.
In the years to come, the company continues to shift. And before long, two private equity firms buy Harrah's.
In 2010, Harrah's changes its name to Caesars. 2 years later, it goes public by holding an IPO.
Everything sounds great, right? Not really. You see, around this time, most casinos are seeing gambling revenues start to dip. People just aren't spending what they once did, but they're getting way more into entertainment and dining.
So in 2015, Caesars' gambling arm actually goes on and files for bankruptcy. It's got too much debt. There's some legal trouble afoot. It's kind of chaotic.
Creditors are knocking on the door, and they all want the same thing. It's the crown jewel of Caesars' flailing casino unit.
17 years of data on 45 million customers, all collected by the Total Rewards program.
And its estimated value? $1 billion.
Now, Caesars eventually gets through the bankruptcy, but it's restructured and it's scathed. It's just not the same company.
But it sees another day, and Total Rewards marches on, becoming more valuable with each new member.
So this kind of customer engagement is not the only way that casinos are leveraging analytics and data.
The gaming industry relies on analytics to optimize the casino floor for the largest possible returns, to spot and stop security threats, and to adjust their business practices, among other things.
Analytics are the industry standard. Good luck finding a casino that doesn't do some sort of high-tech number crunching.
And we all know that healthcare is walking down the same path.
Most healthcare leaders say the industry is making progress in terms of data and analytics, but using that information to improve patient engagement and experience, well, that's something that healthcare just simply needs to do better. That's where Sunny Tara comes in. He's the co-founder and CEO of Care Cognetics, and that's a digital health company that is focused on helping providers improve the patient experience. It also does a few other things, and it's generally an interesting company. Who is Sunny? Well, he successfully found and sold a physician network called DocBeat. You've probably heard of it. And he's also the co-founder and managing partner of Sage 11 Ventures. But before any of that, he spent 8 years overseeing technology and innovation for Caesars and Harrah's. Then he was the chief operating officer for another gaming company. So, Sunny Tara, thank you for joining me on Databook today.
Thanks, Jack, for having me.
First off, I have to ask, how do gambling and healthcare intersect?
You know, Jack, on the surface of it, there doesn't appear to be any intersection. They both are very different industries. But when you look more closely, you would be surprised at the similarities it has. Both industries are heavily regulated. Both manage risk. In gaming and casino world, it's really managing financial risk. And in healthcare, it's really dealing with risk associated with your health. And both industries, I feel, benefit largely from the use of technology. I mean, if you look at casino, there's so much technology that's being used. But also in the healthcare, I think on both sides, there's two sides, I feel, to healthcare. There's an element where, there's a very heavy use of technology, new diagnosis, new treatment for diseases. And I think that the delivery of care is slightly behind times, but, both heavily dependent on technology and digital innovation. And both have a very diverse customer base. So, casinos have both the baby boomers from Gen X to Gen Y, and I think healthcare has very similar customer base.
How exactly are you applying what you learned in the gaming industry to healthcare?
My entrance into healthcare was, I would say, very serendipitous. I actually was a gaming and technology executive, got into creating my first company called DocBeat, and was basically, it hit a personal chord with me. You know, I lost my dad when I was 18 because the right help didn't get there. And I was really, really surprised by an incident that happened where I felt that, you know, someone could only live the next 4 or 5 months and his life would have been saved, but the right help couldn't get there. And it so happened that, you know, I just won an innovation award where, you know, we had kind of geofence devices for mobile gaming to track them. And I felt that, you know, I could solve this in the healthcare. So that's how my first company got started. And I left my career and felt that, you know, I want to make sure that there shouldn't be a loved one that loses their life because the right help doesn't get there. So that was my first company. That was very successful. And, you know, we had a very successful exit in 2014. And, you know, the Care Cognetics really is, again, based on the principle of what can healthcare learn from the casino and the gaming industry. And, you know, what I'm struck by is that in healthcare, we can't even motivate patients to see the doctor for a free annual wellness visit. While, you know, in the casino industry has figured out a way to fly someone 1,000 miles. And even though most of them would lose money, they can't wait to come back. And, you know, casinos are able to create loyalty through positive experience. And so why can't healthcare do the same? Why can't healthcare create loyalty through positive patient experience?
So I understand why loyalty matters to casinos, but patients might not feel like they have the same agency in the healthcare system that they have on the Las Vegas Strip. You know, we look at interoperability issues, in versus out of network, geographic barriers to access. What am I missing here? Why should providers even bother to strive for loyalty?
You know, I might be giving you a very biased opinion because, you know, my company is about enabling loyalty in healthcare, but I feel loyalty in healthcare is not a choice. It's not a nice to have. You know, over the next 5 to 10 years, I feel it's going to determine, you know, your very existence. And I would just say, you know, let's take example of Netflix and Blockbuster. Do you think healthcare is immune to what happened to Blockbuster? You know, I'm sure that 10 years back, you know, Blockbuster didn't really see Netflix completely disrupting its market. And I feel that physicians face a very similar challenge. You know, today, you know, they're seeing a lot more patients than they have the capacity, which is resulting in, you know, not getting appointments, long wait times. And, you know, there's really no denying that the whole customer experience is at all-time low. We have a very fractured patient experience. I was alarmed by the statistics that 44% of people who had access to primary care chose to go to ER or urgent care. So, you know, what could be taken going to a physician office for a few $100 is now maybe costing a few $1,000s. And then almost 60% of the Americans are turning to internet to self-diagnose. You know, these are very alarming numbers. And if we just look at today, even though the customer experience is all-time low, it's not really convenient, patients still go to their physicians because there's a lot of trust that they have with the primary care physicians or their doctor. So because of that trust, you know, they're willing to overlook some of these other conveniences. But today, you shouldn't think of your competition as the primary care office next door. You know, you have now technologies that is going to dramatically change. You know, there's also a rise of Teladoc, and it's just a matter of creating a different experience where, you know, I could just video conference my PCP right then and there. So from a convenience and some of the other factors, it's definitely a lot better. And once people experience it and start to establish the trust, all of a sudden, you know, where you had the customers, you'll see a huge change. And I think we've seen this in multiple industries. If you boil down to what is loyalty, it is really maintaining that relationship, providing that experience, and creating that trust.
What tip from the casino industry can you offer to healthcare leaders right now that will help them improve patient satisfaction, experience, engagement, whatever?
You know, even in the casino industry, I told you we had a very fragmented customer base. You know, and this is like in the early 2000s when we were adopting or rolling out self-service kiosks in different markets, we got a lot of resistance, especially in our Atlantic City markets where the population was much older. So it's very much like the 65 year and older Medicare, very similar to the Medicare population. And, you know, there were some very valid concerns that this older generation is not as adept to use of technology. And so this is not going to work in Atlantic City. And what we realized that it's really not about technology, but it's really about the value that is getting delivered by the technology. And one of the things that we learned was that Atlantic City became the biggest user because you had a clear choice. You could print out your coupons and other things through a self-service kiosk and wait in line for 15, 20 minutes. So what would take 30 minutes, you could just do it within less than a minute. And it so happened that when we actually rolled out or decommissioned kiosks, because now we had mobile phones and apps and other things, you know, we couldn't really take out kiosks at Atlantic City. So that tells me, and we're seeing that very much at Care Cognetics. For some of our chronic population that are 65 years and older, you know, we were told that, you know, oh, population is not really considered digitally dark and they are not going to be engaging on digital channels. And we find quite the contrary. So, you know, we've got engagement rates at 75% with a population where the average age is 72 years old. We are three times higher than the industry average in terms of open rates. But really what shows us that we are really providing the value is that our engagement rates or response rate is 25% higher than what is traditionally observed in the healthcare industry. The average response rate where patients are responding via digital channels is 2%. We are seeing 50%. So again, I think the thing that I would want to emphasize is it's not necessarily about the technology. It's about the value that is getting delivered via technology.
Finally, before I let you go, what is your best story from being in the tech trenches of the casino industry?
I found it very fascinating during my time was when we were rolling out one of the a big innovation project. And the whole idea was that if you look at casinos, you know, how do we provide a differentiated gaming experience? A lot of our revenue comes from the slot machine. And we were tasked to say that, you know, we all buy the slot machines from the same vendors, whether it was IGT at the time or Bally's or, you know, there's three or four vendors that provide all the games and pretty much all the casinos have the same game. So the whole idea for us was, how do we provide a differentiated gaming experience for our slot players? And so we came up with the concept of, you know, making it easy. We did a lot of the surveys and found that what really matters when it comes down to experience was a few things. The first thing is people like to get their drinks. The faster they get their drinks, that really determines or plays a huge part on what is important and what they feel is the experience at a casino. So we had a project that we did up where we allowed you know, our customers to order from the slot machine their favorite drinks, and it could basically personalize. It could have very, you customize based on your profile once you logged in, because we knew that from the card who was playing, we could understand your preferences and say, you know, what was your favorite liquor and how you had your Manhattan or something like that. You know, we could configure that. And then we allowed you to, you know, have headphones and headsets so you can be listening to music while playing the game. So we tried to create a very different experience. You could be watching sports on a small display in a slot machine. So we had a lot of resistance initially. From the corporate side, because they felt that, you know, some felt that this would take away from, you know, our customers wanting to play slots and would, you know, they'd be listening to music rather than playing. And when we rolled out, we found that this data was completely got a unanimous vote to move ahead because, you know, we saw a dramatic increase in coin in. People were staying longer at a slot machine as a result, and which resulted in higher coin in. So a lot of times, you know, I feel that, you know, when we have our initial biases, you know, data tells us differently. But also, you know, if you look at what happens is a lot of projects are very successful at innovation stage, but they fail to go mainstream. And even when this project, maybe from an innovation pilot, we wanted to roll out mainstream, you know, there was a lot of resistance. Initially, you know, a lot of our you know, cocktail servers that deliver the slot machines felt that it's going to take their jobs away. So there was a lot of resistance. And if you can have a whole, you know, it really doesn't matter about what technology you have. If people that are the end users are not going to be using it, adoption suffers. What was very interesting was that a lot of the cocktail waiters realized very quickly that it was making it a lot better for them. They could now deliver twice as many drinks because now earlier they would actually go down and take orders. Now they didn't have to take orders. They can just deliver their drinks. And if they can deliver more drinks, they make more tips. So it was actually making their lives better, and it was actually making them more money. So they became a huge proponent of using this and rolling this out. So for healthcare, I would say, you know, any technology that gets rolled out, it must make things easier for the physicians and their staff. And if it does, and if it also then provides a better patient experience, then those are really, that's really a winner.
Sunny Tara, thank you for joining us on Databook today.
So that does it for this episode of Databook.
Be sure to check out healthcare analytics news online at hjnews.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
As always, I have to remind you, if you like this podcast, be sure to rate, subscribe, and review.
I'm Jack Murtha.
And I'm Tom Castles.
And this is Databook.